Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an Associate Professor of Homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is coming to us from Louisville, Kentucky today with a preaching entitled, A Guilt Too Great to Bear.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next, she bore his brother Abel. Abel became a keeper of flocks, and Cain a tiller of the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the soil, while Abel, for his part, brought one of the best firstlings of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not. Cain greatly resented this and was crestfallen. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you so resentful and crestfallen? If you do well, you can hold up your head. But if not, sin is a demon lurking at the door. His urge is toward you, yet you can be his master. Cain said to his brother Abel, Let us go out in the field. When they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord asked Cain, Where is your brother Abel? He answered, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord then said, What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the soil. Therefore you shall be banned from the soil that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. If you till the soil, it shall no longer give you its produce. You shall become a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is too great to bear. When I was a child growing up at Our Lady of Sorrows Parish in South St. Louis City, the homilies were regularly a bit over my head, so I spent a fair amount of time staring at the stained glass windows. My attention was particularly captured by a round window over the side door we entered from the parking lot. It had a small teepee in one of the quadrants, and I wanted to know what that was about. It's because this church was built on land that used to be Indian land, the pastor told me. I was fascinated and could hardly believe that once upon a time Indians had lived right here on the land where I lived, where I went to school, where I went to church. Of course, as I grew up, my sense of amazement was tempered with other feelings as I learned to ask further questions. What was the story of those Indians? What had happened to them? Was Nye neighborhood part of the much larger tragic saga of the United States studied in history books? The story of violence and forced removal, of widespread smallpox and 1,000 broken promises. If one could lay down on the ground and listen, what story would the soil beneath Our Lady of Sorrows Parish tell? Of course, one could lay down in the dirt just about anywhere on earth and hear it cry out similar stories. Where the Vikings conquered the Irish, where the Babylonians overtook the Assyrians, where the Huns did violence against Rome, and Rome did violence against, well, just about everyone else. The soil has been stained red generation upon generation, all the way back to, well, the time of Cain and Abel, who we read about in today's first reading. Cain kills his brother Abel, and Abel's blood runs into the ground, and the soil receives it. The soil holds the story of what has happened and cries. And if we can't hear it, the Bible tells us that God can hear what the soil preaches. The story of blood lost. No, actually, that's not quite what the Bible says. The English translation misleads us in this way. The Hebrew actually reads bloods, blood in the plural. In Genesis, God says to Cain that the soil opened its mouth to receive your brother's bloods from your hand. God is saying that it's not just Abel that Cain has slayed, but all the future generations that would have descended from Abel. In that one act of envy turned to rage, whole families, perhaps whole civilizations, met their end. One choice can have so many unintended consequences, not just in that moment alone, but for all of history. And if Cain grasped just a tiny sliver of that reality, it is no wonder that he responds, "Gadol avoni minso." The phrase is often translated, as it is in the lectionary, "My punishment is too great to bear." But it could just as rightly be translated, "My guilt is too great to bear." Funny how both of those can be true at the same time. Is there any punishment worse than an overwhelming sense of guilt? In recent years, I suspect many of us listening to this daily podcast have had moments where we could genuinely tap into Cain's sentiment here. There are moments when we've heard the ground cry with stories of Indian boarding schools or accounts from the desert just south of the U.S. border or at sites of police brutality or yet another mass shooting, and become aware of just how blood-soaked is the soil beneath our feet, just how much injustice has been done, and how it is not only those in the past who suffered from an injustice, but their descendants, tens, even hundreds of years later, continue to experience the effects. I suspect "Gadol avoni minso" is the experience the church is trying to find language for when it talks about original sin. The doctrine of original sin is not about God holding us accountable for something Adam and Eve, and we should add Cain, did in the distant past that is simply not our fault since we weren't even alive yet. No, it's a description of the flash of insight we sometimes glimpse into the whole blood-soaked reality of our worlds. The awareness that actions have consequences far beyond what we might ever be able to imagine, and that the earth does not forget it. But lest we fall into despair, let's also remember another truth: that actions have consequences far beyond what we might ever be able to imagine, and the earth does not forget it. Yes, I know that's a repeat of what I just said moments ago, but what I'm talking about now could maybe be called original blessing. That it's possible that every kind act, every generous act, every forgiving act also has ripples, and that even the tiniest mustard seed of actions matters. This is what the movie Schindler's List illumined for so many of us over a decade ago. That saving the life of one person saves a family, a whole neighborhood. That rescuing one person from the rubble in southern Turkey through a donation to Catholic Relief Services right now may save a generation. That helping one addict get off of opioids may save the world. I don't mean to sound Pelagian in saying this. I'm not talking about saving my own soul through the doing of good deeds. I'm simply talking about the impact of our actions in this world going far beyond what we can see, for good, just as much as for evil, even if sometimes the impact of the good is tougher to see. But the ground holds that story too. The earth receives not just the blood and the bloods, but the sweat and the sweats, the tear and the tears. And one day the scripture also reminds us that the mountains and hills will burst into song and the trees of the field clap their hands. Until that day, we can acknowledge our sin and the sin of all times and ages, but not allow it to paralyze us. We can look evil head on, yet never believe that good is not stronger yet. With our Jewish sisters and brothers, we can participate in the Tikkun Olam, the healing of the earth, one parcel of ground at a time.